listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/LaFever CFC. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
So this week, I've been learning an intensive language. I've been learning Pidginjarra, which I still didn't pronounce right, but that's fine. And it has absolutely been a battle for me. I jokingly went into it saying, I struggle with English. How am I going to learn a different language? That was the beginning of it. It has been harder ever since. But on the bright side, I got inspiration for my sermon this afternoon, and I got to spend some time with some people I enjoy. I get to know David better on our trips home. We chatted in the car a fair bit. I got to spend some time, and I actually got to hear some beautiful tutors having opportunities to share their gospel message to non-believers in really gentle ways. And by the end of it, I was just going, you know what? Like, God, you're amazing. So my sermon topic for tonight is tongue-tied, because that's how I feel by the end of it. Friday afternoon, we were given earlier in the week a bit of a role play, a script that we had to memorize. And by Wednesday, we were given a script, and so we performed a script. And it's a two-part script, so you begin as person A, and you speak to one of your tutors in Pidginjarra, give them one side, and then you swap roles and do the other side. And by the end of it, my mind was just hence tongue-tied. So my focus is on words and the power that they hold. Because of all the parts of your body, our tongue is one of the most powerful. I won't say the most powerful, but it's up there. What we can do with our tongue is amazing. We all know it. We all know the scriptures that say that the tongue can either build up or it can tear down. It's a powerful tool. And the scriptures talk about the fact that big bushfires are started with a single spark. How the little rudder can turn a whole ship. How our tongue can change lives, either for the good or for the worse. So, let's start right at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. From the very beginning, words have had power. We might not have the same power in the words that God has got, but it still shows to remind us that even God speaking, there's some amazing things that can come through words. Like I've already mentioned, they can build up, or they can tear down. Now, if you go into Proverbs, there's so many little scriptures in Proverbs that talk about the tongue. And some of them are some beautiful little analogies of the power in the tongue. So here's just a few. They're not in numerical order. I just picked up some and just put them together. So here's Proverbs 12, verse 18. It says, some people make cutting remarks, but the wise bring healing. Like, what an analogy. So you think of that sharp knife, and the words we say can be cutting remarks, or it can bring healing. But 12 verse 6, the words of the wicked are like a murderous ambush. What a graphic scene of what our words can do. But the words of the wise, the words of the godly, save lives. What about the next one? The wicked are trapped by their own words, but the godly escape such trouble. And I was kind of just thinking that whole being trapped with our words and or giving us freedom. So there has to be a good story with us getting trapped with our words. And my story of getting trapped with my words was there's a friend I used to have that lived very close to me. And one day, so what's next door now is those townhouses. Back in the day, there was a shopping centre. And so I lived two streets in that direction. So my mate and I come around and we done something naughty. We decided we needed some of these pens that were on display. So we pocketed a pen each and we've gone home. It fell into our pockets. I'm sure I didn't mean to steal it. No, I did. So we got home, and so my mate and I, we weren't all that bright, let's just put it that way. We didn't put our plans together if we got caught. We're just like, no, we're not going to get caught. It's fine. We'll take them home. So I've taken it home, and so it was later that day. My friend's mum, who's our neighbour, comes and knocks on the door. And so she comes in and starts talking to my mum, and all of a sudden my mum says, did you get a new pen today, did you? And I thought really quickly, I've gone, yeah, it's in the bedroom. So I've gone in, and when I've got in there, it's still in its, like, these are the good ones. These are like individually wrapped in, like, got a cardboard box. So I've got the box, I've rubbed it all together, I've made it look a bit old, I've made it really dirty, and I've walked out and said, oh, yeah, I found it. I found this pen. And so my friend's mum goes, oh, well, that's funny, because so-and-so, her son, had just said that you brought him the pen and it was out of your pocket money. I was trapped in my words. I got myself into trouble. If only we'd got our story straight, we might have been okay. Lesson here is not to get your story straight. The lesson here is to watch what you say, because you're going to get yourself in trouble. You're going to entrap yourself with your words. Wise words bring many benefits, and hard work brings rewards. How beautiful is that? Is that wise words brings benefits, and hard work brings rewards. So basically, from the bits of scripture I've read and from bits and pieces, it seems like our words fall into one of two categories, don't they? They build us up, they encourage us, or they tear us down. They hurt people. But you know, I actually think there's a third group that needs to be in there. So we've got words that encourage, words that tear us down, that are poisonous, and then we've got a third type of words. I've called this empty words. You know those words that are kind of just there? A good way of describing these empty words could be fluff, just stuff that you just say as you go. You know, I really care about all you guys, and walk off. Or, yeah, one day I'm going to learn guitar. For me, that would be me being fluff. It's one of those things I'll say, and I might mean to an extent, but my actions aren't going to back it up. So there's words that build, words that cut down, and then there's just empty words. Now, Shaniqua, where are you? There. You want to come out here? If you don't want to, someone else will come out. So I've used this one before, so a few of you already know where I'm going to go with this. Can you grab this plate? All right, hold the plate. And here's some toothpaste, all right? All I want you to do is put some toothpaste on there. Just put a blob of toothpaste on the plate. A little bit more. Be generous. It is a bit wasteful, but that's okay. So there's some really nice things. I really love your hair. They're beautiful. Your hair's beautiful. How about you put some more words on? Put some more words out. Come on. A little bit more. Oh, no. Wait. I didn't mean to say those words. They're mean words. Can you just put them back in for me? Can you put the toothpaste back in the tube? What? Can you put it back in? Is it easy to put it back in? Okay, I think she's got the giggles. You can sit down, Miss Gigglepot. So obviously this is an object lesson aimed at little children, but it's a good reminder for us. Once our words are out, we can't just put them back in. Whether they're good, bad, in between, no matter what they are, that's why, like, I try to regularly, it doesn't always work, to think about what I'm saying. It doesn't always work. I've got better over the years. Zoe knows from early on that I'm notorious for opening my mouth, speaking words, and then regretting what I've said. And even if I don't regret it, maybe she regrets it. Either way, it can be easy to spit words out before we stop and think about the impact that they're going to have. It's not going to go back in there. It's out for good, isn't it? It's the same with our words. Now, obviously, we're going to have slip-ups. This isn't to make you all feel bad about the nasty thing you said about your friend years ago, but it is hopefully, a bit of a thought provoker for the future. So there's our toothpaste. So let's look at empty words. So if you want to open your Bibles and turn to Ephesians 5, if not, it's up there. Ephesians 5 verse 6 says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words." So that's good. I'm not just completely making this up myself. Even the Bible talks about empty words, which I think is a good plus when the Bible backs up what you're trying to say. Probably makes it a little bit more meaningful, I have to admit. "Let no one deceive you with empty words. For such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient." So empty words. You know that this letter to the Ephesians was written around 60 AD. So we're pretty close to 2,000 years ago. But empty words? I'm sure that must have been coined in 2020. How many empty words are there around at the moment? It feels like daily, minutely, every few seconds, more empty words are thrown around. And I might be getting to be one of those grey, old, grumpy men, but it feels like it's getting worse. It feels like there's more and more empty words. It feels like our social media, our TV, our radio, it's all filled with empty words, just filling up nothing, basically. So empty words. I quickly done like a thesaurus synonyms for empty words. Some of the things that popped up were things like empty talk, nonsensical babble. I like that one, nonsensical babble. Hot air. Yep, that's one I relate to. Yep, there's so many ways to do it. But I actually think that empty words can mean more than that for us as Christians. I think empty words for us is quite often things where we have a good intention, but we don't back it up with our actions. So it's not always just talking for the sake of it. Sometimes it's us thinking, you know what, I really should do that. And I'll tell someone, I'm going to go do that, but then I don't go and do it. It's words without action. I think that's a good way of describing some of our empty words. Words without actions. It's easy enough to say that we love people, but are we showing them? And the Bible talks about how our faith needs to be joined with actions. I think our words need to be joined with actions as well. They need to go hand in hand. Our actions should mirror our words, and our words should mirror our actions. If we've got actions over here and words over here that don't align, people pick up on it pretty quickly. The old story of most people will never read a Bible, but they will read a Christian. Are our actions and our words the same? Hopefully. And if they're not, then now's as good a time as any to start working on making them so they do. And this is, I'm not spitting this out, this is not surprisingly bouncing back and hitting me just as hard as it's hitting any of you guys out there. You know, words, oh, here we go. So this backs up what I was saying yet again. It says, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God, even if we feel guilty." Because there's times I feel guilty. But if our actions are led by truth, then we're going to be okay. God is greater than our feelings. and he knows everything. So let's get our actions aligning up with our words. You know, actions and words together, like I mentioned, they're powerful. If they align, if they are together, then they can do some pretty amazing things. Here's just a couple of verses in Titus and in John to talk about our words and actions together revealing who we are. The first one says, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Ooh. That's not a very good revealing of true character, is it? But what about the next one? By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That's the kind of revealing that I want to happen between my actions and my words. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And together, actions and words will reveal the true person of who we are. One of the reasons I actually find empty words to be pretty dangerous is if we just keep using my analogy of good words, bad words, and empty words, we can kind of think that, you know, empty words aren't that bad. You know what I mean? They're not as far over as the poisonous stuff. Okay, they're not really the good stuff, but they're in the middle. But I actually think that it can be a pretty dangerous spot to be in the middle as well. Because what scares me about empty words is that if I keep just using empty words, I start to convince myself that I'm doing a good thing. I can say I love people but don't show them, or I really want to help, I really want to do good things. If my actions aren't going out and actually doing it, then all I'm doing is trying to fool myself into thinking I'm doing the right thing. Like, I could be up here preaching something I don't believe. You can have your action, you can have your words, but if your actions aren't aligning, then we're deceiving ourselves, and that can be a pretty dangerous thing to, because you build your own self-worth then. I'm saying the right things. Like, you know, people might know that I know my scriptures. So obviously that's a good thing. I must be a Christian if I know my scriptures. Malachi, what was the verse that you read the other day? Do you remember it? About the demons? I'm completely putting on a spot. I shouldn't have done this, but that's okay. Yeah? It's in James. What was the gist of it? Only one God. Yeah. Yeah, or even, I think that scripture actually says the demons. So the scripture that Malachi read, and like he kind of was it, not a light bulb moment, but one of those things of just, oh yeah, that's true, that Malachi come and spoke to me about was, yeah, in James it says that even the demons know that there's God. You can say that you know God, that you know that there's a God. Even the demons know there's a God. You might know the scripture. Even the devil would know the scripture because he knows how to turn it. He knows how to make us use it in the wrong way. So yeah. So words and actions need to be put together. And as I mentioned, I'm not aiming this to make anyone feel guilty, and I apologize if I do. What I'm trying to do is, like I said, prompt us to think differently for the future. You know, the Bible says that we're actually ambassadors for Christ. We're the ones who go ahead and introduce who's coming. We're introducing God. Like, the way I think of ambassadors is they're the representatives that go into a foreign country and talk about their country, about who's, like, you know what I mean? They're representing. And that's what we're doing. We're representing God. So, it's hard. Actions and words, no empty words. So, words that can tear us down. Now, we don't really need to go into too much detail about this. I think we all know those kind of things, that those words that tear people down. We can say really hurtful things, and often they're not always, we don't always mean to hurt people, but we can. And the old, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's rubbish. Words can hurt far more than sticks and stones. A lot of physical injuries will heal. Words that get spoken into your life, they can be a lot harder to heal. Now, I'm lucky I've never really had a lot of negative things spoken into my life, so I'm really lucky. But I know of people who've, you know what I mean, had horrible things said to them for years, and they still struggle with those. The only one I struggle with is a lot of my family regularly, still to this day, make jokes about me being uncoordinated. Now, for a little while, I really took offence to it, till I realised it's partly true. Do you ever see me try to hit a cricket ball or kick a football? There's words of truth in it. But you still have to be careful. For me, okay, so my moment of what I need to be careful with is my jokes. I've got years of practice of turning jokes and harassing people. And generally I mean it in a nice, loving way, but that doesn't mean that the people receiving it always take it that way. Malachi, Jericho, Kanye, Shaniqua, Zoe. I apologise. I'm by no means saying I'm never going to do it again, but I'm going to try to be nice in how I do it. Sticks and stones may break our bones, but names will never hurt us. As I said, it's not true. Words can scar way deeper than just physical injuries. So one of the things I was thinking about when I was thinking about these whole poisonous words was the story of Jesus with the fig tree. So here's a little bit of scripture around the fig tree that you can find in Mark 11. So the next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves. But it was not the season for figs. But then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. And then the next day they go back and the tree's dead. Now that's a different sermon completely. And I'm not going to get into the whole reason why he done that. But what is sticking in my mind, just the same as this toothpaste, is that whole idea of, as we speak words, are we saying words that are bringing life or are they killing? Just as easy as Jesus said something to the tree and the tree died, are the things that we're saying going to have that kind of consequences to people around us? Now, you know, God's a healing God, and I'm sure that if we make mistakes and we say things that hurt, that God's big enough to heal them, to bring people through. But I don't want to inflict that pain. I don't want to be the one who hurts those around me. So words that are poisonous words in my mind are words that we use sometimes intentionally to wound and offend. Like sometimes we're human and we make mistakes, and sometimes we try to hurt people's feelings. If you've ever got children that are siblings, you'll know that's definitely true. If you've ever had a fight with your brother and sister when you were younger, then you probably know it's true as well. We say things that hurt because sometimes that's our defense mechanism, isn't it? Some people hurt us, so what can I do? What can I say back that'll hurt them back? But once they're out, they're out. I also mentioned that even just intentionally leaving out facts and information can be hurtful to people. We've got to watch what we're doing and ensure that our words are those that build up, not from the ones that tear people down. Which leads me to my favourite group of all. We've had some poisonous words, we've had some empty words. Let's go to the nice stuff, shall we? Let's go back over this side. Let's go back to the words that build up. Words of encouragement and blessing they are. So it's not the greatest light, but that's a picture from our baptisms last week. Now, how good was that time after the baptisms to just be able to give each other words? Like, I don't know about you, but just the whole chance to of people from the church with wisdom, hearing from God, sharing into other people's lives was amazing. It's building up. It's giving life. It's bearing fruit that we're meant to be bearing. And, you know, it wasn't just the people who were receiving the words that were baptized that were built up by that. It was those who were giving the words. It was those around that were hearing them. Those of us that could witness, and you know what? Complete strangers witnessing what was happening in that beach on that day. Of all the things that really kind of made my heart sing after the baptisms was just the fact that we had random people just kind of really looking in and really wanting to know what was going on. For a few minutes, I thought a lifeguard was going to come out to the water and see what we're doing because we're in a crowd. And he got out, he came out a bit closer and then he went back in. But yeah, it's amazing. The words can build us up. And that, yeah, during the baptisms, it was some beautiful encouragements. But you know, those kind of encouragement words should be part of our staple diet. It should be something that we're regularly doing. We should find opportunities to build each other up. Here, so this scripture is Romans 12, which talks about the body of Christ. So it talks about the different roles that we've got within the body. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Rather, think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Beautiful analogy. Like, I love the fact that we're all a body and that we all have a function and we're all part of the bigger body. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. It is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. And if it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So I've highlighted a few words in red that you can see a little bit. Prophesying, teaching, encouraging, leading, and showing mercy. See the common theme in all of those? Prophesying, teaching, encouraging, leading, showing mercy. They're fairly heavily word-based actions, aren't they? There are words in those. There's words in sharing a prophecy. There's words in teaching. There's words in encouraging. There's words in leading. You can't just point to people to lead them. You need to use your words. If everyone hops... No, don't hop up. It's the same with showing mercy. They're all word-based. And they're all ways that we can build up those around us. Now, my other favourite part of this week that's made my mind absolutely mush is the fact that the tutors all every day get a chance to tell their story. So they talk about their background, where they've come from, and most of them will bring something Bible-based into it, whether they help with Bible translation, whether they're in a choir. They'll somehow, it's not a big gospel message, but just mention, I'm in the Bible translation, or yeah, I sing in a choir. On Friday, one of the ladies decided that she was going to play the song, the blessing that we've sung, with David leading. And how long does it go for, Sam? Like 7 or 8 minutes or something? Yeah, it's a pretty long song. And she's like, no, everyone's going to sit, they're going to watch this video, and everyone's going to listen to the whole song. And so we all sat there, and there's 45 students roughly, something like that maybe, and including tutors, there's about 60 of us in this room, and I don't want to do the numbers, but there's probably not a lot of believers in that room, but for that 6 or 8 minutes, everyone sat and listened, and it was amazing because the tutors all started singing. I started singing the little bits of amen that I could understand in English. The rest of the time I went very quiet again and hummed away and tapped on the side of my leg. But just the fact that, you know, the blessing is an amazing song. Like, it's beautiful lyrics. And even if the people in the room didn't exactly understand it, I'm fairly sure they got a little bit of the heart message from it. So here's the first verse of the blessing song. It says this: "The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." Now, does anyone know where that's taken from? Can anyone tell me where in the Bible I can find the words of this song? Second Corinthians, yep. Yep, I think you're right for that part. But if we do this double click thing, because I've got this magic clicker, we'll jump to this scripture, which is Numbers 6, verse 22. So this is direct quote from Numbers 6, 22. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them.'" It's a direct quote from Numbers. It's a blessing. So it's not just a song. It's an actual blessing that was to bless people as they're leaving. Like, I think of the old, really kind of old church styles where you leave with a blessing, or even a Catholic where they say a line and then they repeat at the end. That kind of power of the words as you're leaving, that kind of blessing of this is what you're going to leave with. And the whole idea of leaving with this kind of blessing on our lives is, it's pretty good. So it says, in this blessing it says, "So God to bless you, to look favourably on you." That's what it means. For God to bless us, I guess the best way to translate that is for God to look favourably on us. Now, he does that, but what a blessing to say into people's lives. You know what? As you leave, I want God to look favourably on you. For God to keep you. Now, the translation for that basically says for God to guard us, to protect us, to keep us safe. Yet again, what a blessing. You know what? I want God to keep each and every one of you safe. I want him to protect you. I want him to look favorably on you. "To make his face shine upon us" is the next line. Now, this one I didn't really understand, and so I read a bit of a commentary on it, and the very concise version of it talks about the way that when you walk into a room and someone who deeply loves you, you know how their face can light up? Now, I don't see it too often when I walk in and the house is tired. It's not like Zoe's all of a sudden. And I'm not trying to have a go at her. Actually, I shouldn't have put this in a sermon about my words, should I? Your face is always beautiful, babe, and it's always lit up. But that concept of that's how God looks at us. Make his face shine upon you. So what the concept is that when we think of God, we think of that big, glowing face of someone who adores us, who is so happy to see us, which is how God sees us. His face shining upon you. Does that give you a bit, for me, that gave me a bit of a better understanding of his face shining upon me. I can see that now. I can see that big, beaming, beautiful smile, happy to see me. May God be gracious. Ooh, given us grace when we don't deserve it. That's what a blessing's asking for. May God be gracious to you. May he show you favor even when you don't deserve it. May the Lord turn his face towards you. Now, yet again, I'm like, oh, what does that kind of mean? Does it mean sometimes he's looking away? But suddenly what I realized is, if I want to have a conversation with Isaac and I turn my face to him, he has my attention. I have his. If I'm talking to Jacob, but I'm kind of doing this, well, Jacob, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not turning my face towards him. I'm not giving him my whole attention. So the blessing says, may God turn his face towards you. Basically, it's asking, may God always have his full attention on you. Which means, like, God is God. He can have his full attention on everyone at the same time. So don't worry, I'm not going to steal any of God's attention from you guys. But it's just that concept of, you know, when we pray, that's what God is. Like, he gives us his full attention. It's not like, and this time I'm going to throw myself in it. It's not like when Zoe says, oh, when you go to shops, can you just grab this, this, and this? And I'm like, yeah, no worries. And I get to the shop and I'm like, now what was that list? There's no way my face is upon her and I've always given her my full attention, because I sometimes don't. But what beautiful blessings, aren't they? And these are the things that were being shared with people, whether they understood them or not. But even more so when we sing it as a group. Like, I love the fact that Tara, obviously, I can't say this was a coincidence, it's not, because I asked her to put that song in, because I wanted to remind us of how beautiful it is and how important it is to share blessings with those around us. And the last one says, and may he give you peace. Now, we've done sermons on peace. We know that means, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have any conflict anymore, because the peace in the Bible isn't the kind of beauty queen, oh, peace around the world kind of ideal. It's more just the fact of knowing who God is and who we are in God, and knowing that no matter what happens around us, that God has us. So, in just a few minutes, we're going to have a chance to practice these building up words. Now, that could possibly be scary for a few, especially if you kind of mind automatically goes to giving prophecies or things like that. But you know, words of encouragement and words that build up just aren't always prophecies. They can be other things. So I've just put even things like encouragement and blessings, just things like that. So we are going to, in a minute, if you want to start playing the blessing in a second, I'm just going to give you a little bit of an example of, if you want to go to prophecy, because some people here are going to have the gift of prophecy, they're going to be able to share some prophecies with those around them. But if not, if you're not so confident, you could just start by, first of all, if you know someone pretty well and there's something you like about them, tell them. For example, Heather. I love the fact that you're vocal in church. No, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. I honestly mean it in a good way. I love the fact that if I'm speaking and there's something you like, I know about it. And I do. Dawn, David and I are actually having a conversation about you in the nicest possible way in the car the other day. We were, and we're talking about the fact that you're the type of person who you can go to Shaniqua and you can get to her level and you can have a conversation and make it meaningful. You can go to Zoe and have a meaningful conversation. You can go to older people and really relate. And no matter what the age group, you really seem to know how to speak to people at different levels. And I love that. Like, I'm pretty good at speaking to people my age. I can do okay with younger children, but I'm not always the greatest at every age group. So I appreciate that. Like, I appreciate people that can do that. See, it's not hard to say these kind of things about people. Just to stop and to think about it. And that's what our building up time could be in a few minutes. And you know what? If you end up with someone that you do not know at all, return to the blessings. You know what? For example, let's pretend that I don't notice drink bottle from a bar of soap. You can just say, you know what? I hope you have an amazing year. I hope that God blesses you. I pray that, you know what I mean, that everything you dream and desire comes to be. And that can be to a complete stranger. Or it could be the squeaky toy. But yeah, so if you could all just stand, Tara's going to lead us in the blessing. And after that, I just want us to break into small groups and use this time of the blessing to pray. God, what do you want me to say? Who do you want me to speak to? What can I share? And like I said, don't feel stressed about it. Do not be worried about what you're going to say to people. And on the flip side of this, even if you don't have anything to share, take this time to hear from other people. As people speak into your lives, it's all good, well and good to just nod and go, oh yeah, thanks for that. But take a minute to think about what people are sharing with you and how you can use that to build you up and to encourage you.